General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African Bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Tonight I'm going to take a back seat. I want you to meet a very old friend of mine called Glyn Edwards. Glyn has worked in seven of Africa's most famous parks, and his experience in game conservation covers nearly half a century. He plans to tell you of the great laws of nature, the balance that can never be destroyed, except by the hand of man, the balance which dictates the terms by which the animals exist. The law, the primeval law, which teaches that death spawns life, and life must, in the end, mean death. Kill to live, and live to kill. From the moment of birth, the death process begins. The weak must give way to the strong. Mercy is unnecessary in an honorable scheme of things. The balance that nature watches with a jealous eye. The eternal balance.
Early hours of the morning. The waterhole lies dark under the stars. Here the great bullfrog watches over the night. The thorn trees loom at the water's edge, and from a limb of an umbrella thorn, the pearl-spotted owlet, his face a perfect parabolic reflector, receives the sounds of the night with an attentive ear. On the far side of the pool, a Mozambique nightjar sounds its presence. Its two-stroke engine call, blending with the harmony of the night, running uninterrupted minutes at a time. Here, at the waterhole, stands the reed buck hind, its body taut as piano strings, listening to the night, afraid of the night. And a few yards away, screened by reeds, the king of beasts waits for his strike, watches, and waits. Too late, the warning cry. A myriad of years too late. Beast kills. The reed buck hind dies. Dies so that others may live. So that others may kill to give life. The balance is preserved.
Cruel. So cruel.
No, it's not cruel. It's good.
Death is good?
I'll show you. Come with me. I'll show you many things under the cloak of night. I'll show you the work of night. Show you that death is necessary. That death is good.
It's savage.
Cruel.
No. You are wrong. Come, we'll go now into the heart of the darkness where no birds sing.
Look. Eggs.
Eggs in the warmth of the riverbank. They're safe.
They're the eggs of the crocodile. But they're not safe. Wait.
Here comes something else. Look.
The gecko. He comes in the black of night to steal the offspring of the ugly one, the crocodile.
eggs are breaking. Look.
He's ready to feed.
He's eating.
Eating the young of the crocodile.
But watch. There are others waiting. Others watch. The ibis has seen him, sat from his meal. The ibis strikes.
The gecko has paid for his crime.
Paid in full?
Paid, yes. But not for crime. There was no crime. Animals are innocent. Only man commits crime. Man kills for gain, a natural gain. The balance is eternal and never-ending. The lizard took the crocodile flesh from the egg. The great stork took the lizard. But when that bird lays its eggs in the quiet of the river, protected, camouflaged, another actor will enter the scene. The baboon will come and rape the eggs of the bird from their nest.
Listen. What a wonderful world.
A wonderful world. The cloak of night masks so much.
Why have they stopped calling?
There is a polecat. You see him? There. In the hole below the bank. That hole's his larder. He catches more than he can eat. Unearth the polecat's larder and you'll find it filled with quivering frogs, each neatly bitten through the brain. It's his method of providing for the future. The frogs are bitten, but they do not die. They stay there, helpless, fresh for the polecat until he wishes to eat. His larder is always there. Hear the nightjar?
He sounds so peaceful.
Peaceful sounds in the midst of death. Always peace and beauty where there's destruction. The river polecat has gone. The frogs sing again. Tonight the cat prefers to feed upon crickets and rats. Rats which might, in their turn, might steal the eggs of the bird and eat the polecat's young. The circle goes round and round forever. The polecat has few enemies when full grown. But he is friendless, because deep within him is a gland which makes the earth stink. It acts like the ink of the octopus, or the scent of the skunk.
What's that?
Hyena. Rubbish bin of the felt. Camp follower of the king.
Do other creatures feed off of him?
Nothing will touch the flesh of the hyena. But the hyena devours everything. He can crack the bones of a buffalo. He will eat the king himself, the lion, even as the lion dies. Hyena, loathsome and hated. But he is a sanitary inspector. He keeps the landscape clean. His place within the scheme of things is valued and assured. The east glows, the beginning of another day. Another day. A day like all the other days, important yet unimportant. The beginning of life for many, the end of life for many. They come to drink. The rule is drink or die and drink, or die before attaining drink. But the dying... that is a universal requirement.
There he is. The voice of the monarch.
Nonsense. That's hippos bathing and rolling and wallowing in the muddy heaven they call their home.
Listen to that bird. Listen to him. He sounds so important, as if he's the only one singing.
His orange breast also heralds danger. He's the orange-breasted bush shrike. His kind impale their victims upon thorns. See, there. See that beetle? He's secure. He's being saved for dinner.
What's that bird?
The great fish eagle. Look! Look, crocodile.
Perhaps he's looking for the eggs that were eaten.
wouldn't like to be near those jaws.
The crocodile has built up a fearsome reputation as a man-eater. But he prefers fish to any other food. Among fish, the crocodiles help to maintain the balance of species. If there were no crocodiles, carnivorous fish like the barbel and the catfish would eat too many other fish and would dominate the waters. The fish eagle and the crocodile feed upon barbel. The barbel, in turn, feed upon bream. Water birds, some of them, in turn, take the bream.
The balance again. I'm beginning to understand.
It's still so savage and so wild, without any mercy.
The monkey. What does he want?
That's the vervet. He announces the arrival of the king. Look, he's hungry.
He won't kill in the morning, though, will he?
We might. We'll see the zebra flee in panic. A zebra will provide a lion with 350 pounds of meat and gut, food for the whole pride. A lion kills every 5 days. At one sitting, he'll eat an eighth of his own body weight.
What's he saying? He must be saying something.
There's a Swahili legend that when the lion roars, he's saying, Chianani, Yangu, Yangu, Yangu. Whose is this land? Mine, mine, mine.
Look. What's that animal, the one sloping away over there? He looks like a fox.
He is. The bat-eared fox. He has more teeth than any other canine. 48.
What are these?
Are they buck? Impala. Look, there's a female. The other two are males. The balance is not right. The males are contesting the inequality and will correct it.
One must win, but which one?
The larger of the two is losing ground.
You're right. Size does not always decide. The ram with the smaller horns is winning the fight. Bird sails on the roof of the world. High, high, in the eyes of heaven, flying to the sun. Another bird, an eagle too, but this time the long-crested one, seeking, seeking.
What does he seek?
Something small, creeping in the bush. A field mouse. A field mouse? That's what the great bird seeks.
How will he catch it?
Watch and you'll learn.
Here he is.
A black speck out of the sun. Larger, larger.
Larger, larger. The speck becomes a bird.
It has seen the mouse it seeks.
The mouse is still
petrified with fear. The tiny furry thing knows that its time has come.
Can he do nothing about it?
Nothing. Sinews frozen.
Just waiting for death.
Waiting. Waiting for death from out of heaven's eye.
It's horrible.
Greater beasts are abroad.
Elephant. He hasn't enemies, surely.
None except itself. Great lumbering beast, preventing its own increase by destroying its own habitat.
What do you mean?
Destruction, destruction, that's what I mean. Destroying the food it needs. Bringing trees crashing down to the forest floor. Devouring 500 pounds of fodder a day. Destroying 100 weights more. Thus preventing its own increase.
Ah!
There are the hippos again.
See that bird? See? There, on the great boat back.
A bird on the hippo?
Using the hippo for a raft. A fishing raft. Watch. There he goes, hovering now above the sparkling river water. He is called the Pied Kingfisher. That little joker hovers, hoping for a fish. Watching for the silver flash in the silver water. A slip of food to shake and crush and crunch and break and swallow. Black and white, brilliant in the sunlight. In his mind, there are a multitude of thoughts.
What thoughts in so tiny a brain?
The distance from the water to those beating wings. The speed at which he must strike to gain his quarry. The angle of flight. The speed of the moving target. All this must be exact, precise. He's found a fish. There he goes. Back again.
So swift. Back to the hippo's back with the fish.
Back to the back of the hippo with a slip of silver.
To shake the bones, make them pulp, and swallow the fish head first.
Why head first?
So that the dorsal fin will not rip the throat. That monkey's on guard.
Which is he?
It's a manga monkey. There's baboon now. Remember the baboon who took the eggs of the ibis stork to eat? The stork who killed the gecko who ate the newly hatched crocodiles? Now the time of the baboon is now. The leopard comes. The babblers cry, but their warning is too late, too late. He can't escape. There, he runs this way, that way, but in vain. Escape! Run! The baboon is quick, he will escape.
Not that one.
The baboon who took the eggs of the stork, who took the gecko, who took the infant crocodiles newly hatched. This is the eternal balance restored. The day passes, and the sun grows tired of another day of work. The shadows lengthen. Time approaches for the evening slaking of thirst.
There's a wildebeest now. He looks grave, solemn. A clown's face. A clown who might play Hamlet. Like an old scribe at work over a ledger that will take eternity to write.
Here comes the king, ready to kill, ready to eat. Down goes the grave one. Down into the dust to rise no more, to gallop over the felt no more, to provide the female one with seed no more, to drink, watch, fear no more. The end for the grave signor. When the king was small and defenseless, you could have ripped him open with horn and hoof, and strung his guts in the reeds like spiders' webs for flies. But you yourself were small and weak then. Now it is too late. It is you who must die, grateful for the mercy nature showed in making the final thrust not felt. After the initial shock, all is peace, all is nothing. Everything has become nothing for you in the dying of the day.
It's terrible. The wildebeest wanted a drink, that's all. Has he not the right to drink, even as the lion has the right to drink? What had the wildebeest done?
What had the mouse done? The fly doomed in the web, the reed behind.
It's cruel, terribly cruel.
No, not cruel. Right. Following a noble, necessary pattern. You eat flesh to live. The balance is struck at birth.
The scolding voice of the baboon.
Sounding the alarm again. Always too late.
His voice is the scale that measures overpopulation and retrogression in nature. Measures the weak first for death. For crowding brings famine, and famine brings death for many. Too many. Death begets life, and life death, The cycle is eternal.
Were uglier birds ever born? Heads like hairless old men in the long dark winter of their days, bare-necked and bald.
Vultures. They brush the filth clean, no friend of the hyena, yet engaged in the same task. They see death in advance like a dream, and often perceive it. One day the lion will be old, and the wild dogs will drag it down. Then too the birds will be there. They can spot a kill from over 5,000 feet in the sky.
What's that?
That's a honey badger. For its size, probably the most powerful animal on earth. It has tremendous incurving claws, which enable it to dig its own burrow, tear down rotten trees in search of the elusive ground squirrel. It travels like a drunken sailor. It eats the comb, grubs, and honey from the bees' nests, leaving the wax for the honey guide.
What's the honey guide?
One of the seven wonders of the animal kingdom. It locates the hives of the wild bees. It must seek a partner, then, to do the spade work, for it can't uncover the delicacies, for its beak is very weak. The honey guide announces the find to its partner. The badger comes. The operation is complete. That's a chanting goshawk. He follows the honey badger to catch the animals he disturbs. You have seen much of death, but come, I'll show you life now, new life. Here is something unseen by the eye of man before this time.
The elephants are feeding. What's that one doing? She's squatting.
The herd is at ease, feeding, but they are vigilant. This one, the cow, is about to bring forth another of her kind. Watch. The miracle is about to happen. A miracle as old as the world, yet as young as the dawn. Time passes. Time passes. Another life. Another forest voice will be. Will be. Another cycle. Another story told. Two have come together, and the two have made another. And the other has come from the one, from the seed put there by the great one of its kind, in whose image he will grow and be great along with the old. Mother is exhausted, but the newborn struggles and is free. And now the mother raises the protecting trunk and points it towards her calves. I am free, says the pink one. I am, I am, I am. No other thing is as I am. I am as no other thing. I am, I am. Life glorious and fresh. There is a scale that life commands. The scale is life. Measures the weak first for death. For crowding brings famine, and famine brings death. And the newborn soon will trumpet his knowledge to the earth. The cry, I am, for all to hear, and for all to know well. The cycle is eternal, and the balance is for all time.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushbelt. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.